Welcome to the Southridge Church Podcast, where our mission is leading people to find and follow Jesus. We're thrilled that you are here, and it's our hope that this message will lead you to find and follow Jesus.
Good morning again. Thank you for standing. God bless you. You could be seated right now. So grateful to each and every one of you are here. I want to dive in this morning, take your Bible to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. I think the mic will work in just a second. I'm going to use the pack. Thank you. Man, I'm looking forward to spending some time together. If you got a Bible, John chapter number 11. If we can also get the house lights up, that'd be great this morning. I want to ask you a question. What's your definition of late? What's your definition of late? I mean, for some of you, if you're military, to be on time is to be late. Some of you are not military, and you even know that. How many of you, your definition is like 5 minutes? That's kind of late. So I'm going to go around the room, Oprah style again. I'm curious to see what your definition of late is, okay? Because this is going to be a really cathartic for a pastor, okay? All right. Because church starts at 10. Some of you all walked in at, we won't even say. So I'm just going to just kind of let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. If conviction sets in on you for what time you moseyed on in here, that's fine. But I'm just curious. So I'm just going to kind of go around the room and just find out. Just lift up your hand if you want to tell me what your definition of late is. Sonia, what's your definition of late?
5 minutes early.
5 minutes early. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm going to use both mics. I'll use both. Vince, what's your definition of late?
Just getting here.
Just get here. He's like, just get here. Hey, Josh, how about you? What's your definition of late?
15 to 30 minutes.
Okay, 15 to 30 minutes. That's acceptable. If you're 15 to 30 minutes late, you're okay. You're okay. Angela, do you have a definition of late?
When you have kids.
When you have kids. How many? Come on, that's real right there. If you got kids, that's kind of a get out of jail free card. I will be using that one till my kids are grown and gone. Yolanda, yes, back here. What's the definition of late?
It is the fact that I am aware that I have high blood pressure and health issues.
Yeah.
And if I continue my lifestyle the way that it is,
yeah,
it's going to be too late.
It's going to be too late. Okay. All right. There we go. We got a real definition there. Here we go. Josh wants to redo his.
That was 15 to 30 minutes early.
Oh, right? 15 to 30 minutes early. That's because you're a supervisor and you don't like people showing up late at the job. But here's the deal. How many of you would say, if you're 5 minutes late, you're not really late? How many of you are in that category? 5 minutes late is not really late. Oh, okay. How many of you are 10 minutes late? That's not really late. You're still good. You're in this safe buffer zone. 15 minutes, are you late? Oh, some of you are the 15-minute crowd. How many of you, if you are 30 minutes late, are you late? Okay, there we go. Finally, we're kind of getting some common ground. All right, let me ask you this question. If you were an hour late, are you late? Yeah, you're late. You're late, right? We all kind of agree. But isn't it interesting we all have our definition of late? What if you were 4 days late? Would you be late?
Yes.
Yeah. Which is why I love John 11.
Yeah.
Take your Bible if you got it. John chapter number 11, because that's exactly what happens. We're going a little bit old school in our series because there's some Bible stories that are familiar to some and unfamiliar to others, and it's the story of Lazarus. And I love this story for so many reasons, but the biggest reason is because Jesus was expected to help out and to show up on time. And you would think, if anybody, Jesus would be on time. You would think that. We would have that expectation that if anybody's going to be on time, Jesus is the one to be on time. But in John chapter number 11, all of you that like to show up 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes late, all of a sudden you're going to probably use this as like your excuse, okay? But let's look at it together. John chapter number 11, notice if you would, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him," that's Jesus, "saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" That verse right there is a powerful reminder that God does not allow pointless pain. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Aren't you glad about that? Jesus loves these people. Jesus loves you. So this next verse that we're about to read is very confusing for me. Because in the very next verse, it says, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed how many more days? 2 more days. Hold up. If you invite me to your party, you invite me to your St. Patrick's Day feast with your corned beef and maybe you got some cabbage and mashed potatoes, and I show up on Wednesday knocking at your door saying, hey, I'm here for the St. Patty's Day party. You're like, Micaiah, that was Sunday, man. Like, you are a few days late. You might actually get offended that I didn't show up. That you invited me. I said, yes, I'll be there. I even say, I love you. And then right after I say, I love you, I chill for 2 more days. What's up with that? That to me doesn't feel very loving. It doesn't look very loving. However, I want to get this truth in our hearts and minds this morning. That you and I, we have an expectation sometimes. And then there's this expectation, and between expectation and our experience is a gap. We expect God to come when we need him to. Our experience is that he doesn't always show up. And you and I are left living in this gap. Our expectation is to be married at a certain time. Our expectation is to have the career job. Our expectation is to not get sick. Our expectation is the finances work. Our expectations are here, but then when we get over here to our experience, there's a big gap. There's a difference between the two. And you and I are living in this gap right here where we're frustrated because we're saying, God, I had this expectation. You even said you loved me. And if you love me, why would you allow this to happen to me? God, I'm living in this gap. And this morning, I want to deal with unmet expectations because I believe that we operate in so many times out of this gap, out of this thought that, God, if you love me, then you would take care of things right on time. Let's continue reading this passage just for a few more verses. Verse number 7. Then after he said this to his disciples, he said, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that he may wake up. The disciples said, Lord, if he's asleep, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about talking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And this other verse confuses me. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. I don't know about you, but I think sometimes we need to be honest that Jesus doesn't operate how we want him to. That we can have some expectations and we can have some preconceived notions about what Jesus will do and should do. And sometimes we have this expectation and yet our experience does not match up with our expectation and we're left living in this gap. What do we do with this gap? How do we handle it? How do we continue to have a smile? How do we continue to have joy? How do we continue to face life? Because we've got this big gap in our life that we're dealing with, because here Jesus says this tough truth. I'm glad I wasn't there. Maybe you're like, God, why did the marriage break up? Why did the loved one die? Why did the career not work out? Why did I lose my health, my job? And you fill in the blank because we all have that gap. We've all got something in our life where we had this expectation that it was going to line up. Man, we prayed about it. We went to church. We gave a little bit in the offering. We had this expectation. And yet now we're feeling like, God, have you abandoned me? And then we read a verse like this. For your sakes, I was glad I wasn't there. Wait a minute, God, you mean there'll be times that you're going to abandon me, that you're going to leave me to that gap? But let's continue reading. He says this, nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, I pray that you bless the reading of your word. God, there is something here you want to say to somebody here this morning. That there's something that looks like it's just over. And yet in the middle of the gap, you want to do something great. So I pray that you would speak to hearts. I pray that you use your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When we talk about being late, I'm sad to say that one time I was invited to officiate a wedding in Santa Cruz Mountains. And I said, no problem. They had asked me to officiate their wedding months before their wedding. They had lined up the photographer, the videographer, and they said, we want to do it at Roaring Camp because they have these beautiful redwood trees that make this nice little grove, and we want to, you know, at the right time where the sun is kind of setting, it's got that perfect glow. We want to get married with the light shining down. It's going to be great. And I said, oh, that's awesome. That's great. I would love to be a part of it. I'll be there. Only one problem. Right when I said that I would be there, I discovered Fortnite. And I know you're going to look at me less than after I share with you what I'm about to share with you, but I had never played Fortnite. And I got to say, this wasn't like Fortnite that just came out. This is like, no, I'm just late to the game. And I only can play video games when my wife is not around. So I have to sneak in video games. Some of you have to sneak out of the house. No, I'm sneaking into the den, turning on the TV, taking the mute, turn it all the way down so she doesn't hear the sound of the game coming on, because she's got ears, man. I'm telling you what, superpower ears, so she can hear that, and she'll text me, what are you doing in video games? I'm not. It's the boys. I'm trying to be a good dad, spend time with them. You know, that's what I'm doing. Well, anyway, so I discovered Fortnite, and I said to Jane, this is good bonding time for me and my boys. You know, we'll bond over Fortnite. And then I get a text on a Saturday afternoon as I am about to get a victory royale, all right? About to get that little shiny crown. My head's gonna glow in this game. I'm pretty stoked about it, all right? I get a text. Where are you? I'm playing Fortnite, having a good time, about to get a victory royale. And then I look at who the text is from. I was like, oh, that's nice of them to ask what I'm doing. The person said, are you almost here? No, I'm at home. I said you were gonna officiate our wedding. Oh, that's today. Can I tell you, there's nothing quite like officiating a wedding after you're the last one to show up. It's just hard to be joyful when they've been expecting you to be there. And many of us, that's how you show up on Sundays. Because you had this expectation that God was going to show up in your life this week. And you're coming into church and you're like, God, I'm here even though you didn't show up for me. I'm doing my part. So God, when are you going to show up? And that's exactly Martha, her attitude, because she says to God, if you had just been here, living in that gap of if it didn't happen, she had an expectation. Jesus, if you just would have showed up, this wouldn't have happened, but you didn't show up. So now we're here. I'm in this gap. My brother's dead. He's in the tomb. It's over. If you had just been here, you know what Martha's really saying to Jesus? She's saying to Jesus, you said you loved us. Scholars believe that Jesus actually may have grown up with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, that they go way back together, that these are childhood friends. And anytime Jesus came into that area, he would eat with them. There's a story about Martha was cooking up a feast. Jesus is teaching in the living room, and Mary's just sitting there, and Martha's upset because Mary's not helping. And Jesus tells Martha, hey, leave Mary alone. She's doing what she should be doing. So Jesus would oftentimes come through, and other times he'd come through, and there would be Mary to anoint his feet and anoint his head with oil, saying that he has a position, he has status. There's no food this time. There's no chicken biscuit for Jesus. They're like, nah, you ain't getting no free food. You didn't show up when we wanted to. There's no oil. There's no food. No. We're in this gap. We're upset with you. What she's really wanted to say to Jesus is, make this make sense. Make this tragedy make sense, because it does not make sense. Because they know, Jesus, you have fed 5,000. Jesus, you have given sight to the blind. Jesus, there was that boy who was dead. He was coming out of Jericho in the funeral pyre, and you touched the funeral pyre and he resurrected. You have healed Jairus's daughter when she was sick. So Jesus, make this make sense. And maybe that's where you find yourself. Jesus, I'm in this gap, so make this gap make sense. And you're frustrated because you're trying to make sense of it. And it's not making sense. But I'll say to you, when you need it to make sense, that is the lid that limits your faith. And some of you need your life to make sense. And you're saying, God, that's my idol. Make this make sense. And God's saying, that's a lid. Because you're living in this mindset of what if. And we could all play that game, couldn't we? What if I would have turned left instead of right? What if I would have married him? What if I would have married her? What if I would have moved? What if I would have taken that job? What if I wouldn't have gone there? What if I wouldn't have said that? What if I should have said that? We can play what if till the end of time. However, we're here now, and when we play this game, it limits our faith. You see, Jesus, he could have healed, and they forgot this, from a distance. Jesus one time was confronted by a Roman centurion on the road, and the centurion asked Jesus, come heal my servant. And Jesus said, sure, I'll follow to your house. And the centurion said, no, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And it happened just like that. Jesus even said, I've not even seen such great faith. So Jesus can do it from a distance. Touch your neighbor and tell him, hey, Jesus can do it from a distance. He can do it from a distance. Some of you feel like, I got to be right in church for the miracle. I got to be at this place for the miracle. No, God can do it from a distance. God didn't even need to show up in Bethany, didn't need to show up in their house. And some of you feel like this morning that God's got to do it this way. I mean, you've got parameters to your miracle. You're kind of saying, God, here's this gap. I know how you could fix it. I'm going to go down to 7-Eleven. I'm going to go to that orange little ATM-looking machine. I'm going to type in a bunch of numbers, and that's going to take care of my financial situation with those lottery tickets. And you're just going to magically, through the process osmosis, give me a bunch of random numbers, and I'm going to be a billionaire. God, that's a good way you could fix it. Because that's what we do, isn't it? We think, God, you got to do it this way. And that's a limit on God. And God wants to not just show up, but he also wants to show off in your life. So God can do it from a distance. You see, we forget that with us, there are the what ifs. But God has never had a what if. God's never had a what if. God doesn't look at the angels and say, man, what if we wouldn't have done it that way? Maybe we should have rethought that. No. Because the Bible says in Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things means all. So God's not stepping back up in heaven and being like, oops, man, how did we not see that? We were a little bit too busy playing Fortnite, guys. We missed it. That's not what Jesus is doing. That's not what God up in heaven is doing. He's not saying, oh, we messed up. No, God's not having a what if, but you and I, we do have these what if moments. You see, if is a limited, short-sighted mindset that doesn't help things make sense, but makes things miserable. That's what if does. It doesn't help you make things make sense, but it will make you miserable. I use a little acronym, it helps me. And so I want to give you an acronym for if. If can stand for an imagined future. That's what if is. It's an imagined future. And I'm not saying your imagined future is wrong. That's just what an if is. If I get that job, I can picture those bonus checks. If I marry her, I could just picture, never mind what you could picture, keep that to yourself, you're in church, okay? If I could just drive that car, and we have this image, if I could just go on vacation there, if I could just have that body, if I could just have that bank account, if I just had that position, it's an imagined future, if imagined future. And many of us are living in that imagined future. but an imagined future only exists in our imagination. And God doesn't deal with just the imagination. He wants to work in your current reality. He wants to work in the if, in the gap. That's where he wants to work. And so if stands for not only an imagined future, it's also an imposed fence. It's a limit on what God can do. Your if. What does Martha say? If you had just been there. Like, wait a minute. You think if I didn't show up back here, I couldn't have prevented that? Like, 4 days later is too late to deal with this? And some of you are there. You feel like because God, you didn't show up there, you can't do anything here. That's an imposed fence on God. You are limiting what you think God can do. And God's saying, I'm not limited. I'm not bound by anything. None of that is stopping me. None of these imposed fences limit God, but they limit what we think God can do. And God lives up to the reality of your belief. God can do these things, but you and I, we're the missing ingredient where our faith doesn't come up to that level. And lastly, it's an interrupter of faith. You see, you're strong faith. You come in and you're all passionate, you're fired up, but then this if, it interrupts your faith is what ifs do. It interrupts what God wants to do. And I love it because Jesus is not saying no. He's just saying not now. They wanted him to come a few days ago. I don't know about you, but wouldn't you rather have something later than have something never? I would. And I don't like to wait. I think all of us struggle with waiting. However, I can do with the later. I struggle with the never. And you have to get in your mind that just because there's a gap, this just means it's a later, not a never. Somebody's wisely said, God's delays are not his denials. And some of you are living in this gap like, it's never going to happen. I'm never going to get that job. I'm never going to make it. We're never going to get there. And God's like, what are you talking about? Why are you thinking that way? Why are you allowing that thought to cross your mind? And so Jesus knows that. So in verse 26, Jesus says something to Martha. He says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asks these four words that are powerful. I want to put it up on the screen so that you and I can see in verse 26. It says this, do you believe this? See, that changes everything about the gap. What you believe about the gap will determine your experience. Because if you have this gap thinking that God has gaps, that God can't do it, and God was missing in action, there's things that God can't do, you're gonna end up living in this gap. Or you could say, no, God, I believe that you could do some incredible things, but I have to believe. And so that's what she does. She says, I do believe. And I love this. No miracle's been done yet. Nobody's been raised from the dead. And here in this passage, all of a sudden she's confronted with this question. And I love her answer. Verse 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. You see, she understood, I want God's will, but that means I have to want it God's way. And that's where you and I have a hard time. Because we say, yes, God, I'll do things your will. But God says, well, I've got my own way. I've got my way that we're going to do this. God's in charge. You see, God can bend the cosmos to complete his will, but yet you and I, we struggle and we're saying, no, God, we move him back into this if, back in this fenced off thinking. And God's saying, no, let's do things my way. I'm the creator. I'm God. And so trust me. Don't limit me. You see, many of us struggle and we are rushing instead of trusting. God, hurry up, get here now before he dies. Come on, hurry up, hurry up. I gotta get married now. I gotta get in a relationship now. I gotta graduate now. I gotta have this job now. I need that new car now. I need the church to grow now. I need my wife to behave now. I need my business to grow now. I need it now, 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 now. And you all have a now. Some of you want this sermon to be over now. We all got a now. But we need to step back and say, hold on, God. Am I rushing you instead of trusting you? And I need to trust you in this season because there's something you're going to do that I'm going to have a greater faith because I get to be a part of it because I got to see it happen. I got to see that miracle take place. That's incredible. when you're there, when you get to experience it, that's awesome. It's hard for me to watch events on TV, any sporting event. It's just hard. It's just kind of boring. But when I'm in the stadium, oh my goodness, changes everything. It's hard for me to watch baseball on TV. That's hard. You put me in a baseball stadium, oh man, now we're having fun. This is great. This is a really good time. God wants you to experience something, not just see it on the outside. He wants you to know that he's doing something. But you've got to step back and ask yourself this question. Do you believe? There's this fun show I like to watch every now and then. It's called Chopped. Anybody ever seen the show Chopped? I like Chopped. It's kind of cool. I'm not a chef at all. I'm not that great at cooking. I try to make pancakes for my kids. I follow the same recipe my wife makes, and she makes these beautiful, fluffy, delicious, full of carbohydrates and saturated fat pancakes and a bunch of butter and syrup. And it's terrible for you, but it tastes great. So I was like, I'm gonna make my kids. I'm gonna be a good dad. I'm gonna put down the Fortnite controller and I'm actually gonna make them some pancakes. And so I started making pancakes and these things came out flat and nasty. The kids were like, Dad made crepes. I was like, those are not crepes. Those are pancakes. Delicious, golden, fluffy, flat pancakes. Now eat it. I'm playing Fortnite. I followed the recipe, and that's why I like Chopped. Because, Mark, I tell you, it's neat when they get the basket and they don't know the ingredients. And I love that championship show because each one of these amazing chefs is given this basket, and they don't know what's in the basket. And so the judges stand up there and say, okay, each of you are going to get this basket, and when the timer starts, you got to unpack this basket, and you got to make a feast. And I love this part of the show because the timer starts, they open up the basket, and then they start pulling out the weirdest ingredients. I think this is made up, okay? Until they pulled out the balut, I was like, oh no, I know what that is. Come on, y'all, it's balut. And they acted like it's crazy. And I'm like, oh, this is crazy, the stuff that they bring out. They bring out these compotes, and they bring out these roots, and they bring these vegetables, and then they tell them to make these wild creations. You know what's so incredible about that show? The judges know that there's some crazy stuff in these baskets. But you know something the judges do not do? They don't say, whoa, whoa, hey, chefs, stop, step back, put your knives down, step back. We're sorry. We gave you some duck confit and we want you to make this peanut butter jelly sandwich with it. We messed up. We're sorry. Do they ever do that? No. When the ingredients are hard, the judges never stop the chefs. Then it'll be like, oh, we messed up. We should have given you guys some easier ingredients. Actually, the inverse happens. When they get a really difficult basket, and then when they finally serve it, it's plated, it's perfect, it's delicious, and they serve it to them, the judges are even more impressed that they were able to take these random, disconnected ingredients and make something beautiful out of it. God has put some random ingredients in your life, in your basket. And some of you, instead of making a masterpiece with it, are saying, God, you made a mistake. And you're wanting to throw out all the ingredients. And God's saying, you missed it. I put that in your basket because I knew you were the only one who could make that recipe. Because I created you to make that recipe. Nobody else can make it. Only you can make it. Because you needed those life experiences. You needed all of that pain. All of that. And so only you can create this. It's only you can make it. And if you don't, then the world will never see it. And yet you and I are cursing God saying, I can't believe you put this in my basket. And God's like, I believe it. I put it there. And I know what I put in you. So don't get mad that you're in this gap. Do you believe? And we have to step back and say exactly what Martha says in verse 22. Because I love this response. She's just told Jesus, why weren't you here? Why weren't you? What if? And then she says in verse 22, and I love this, but even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. What's she doing with her ingredients? She's saying, let's get to cooking. My name's Martha. I know how to make a feast. Let's get to cooking. Let's take these ingredients even now. She's saying nothing needs to change. Even now, we can fix this. Even now. And I love this because this is a declaration. This is the greatest part of the story. You see, no matter what you get away from today, I need you to understand this. The greatest test of your faith is what you do with your disappointments. That's the test of your faith. What do you do with your disappointments? Because some of you, the moment a disappointment comes into your life, you curse God, you overindulge, you allow substance abuse in, you get out of church, you want nothing to do with the word, you don't pray, you're like, fine. And God's like, I'm trying to test your faith. I'm trying to do something here. You see, too often, we need to step back and be like Martha, who stated how she felt, but stood firm on her faith. You see, Martha's faith still got the last word over her feelings. She told Jesus how she felt. If you just would have been here, Jesus, this wouldn't have happened. However, she says, but even now, let's get over here. Let's do something with this. But even now, what did she do? She just left somewhere. She started here in this expectation. Jesus, you should have been here. You should have done this. That's why my brother died. I didn't have that. She moved into this gap. She was living in this gap. And now, but even now, she's moved. And that's for you and I. God wants to move you out of expectation, out of the gap, into experiencing something else. And some of you are limiting your own growth because you think the man is keeping me down. Oh, the bills are keeping me down. Oh, the finances are keeping me down. Oh, I've got all these issues. How are you going to drive a Land Rover and have a landlord? I don't understand that. Some of you, your financial problems are your own problems. Nobody did that to you. You did that to you. Understand that. Stop making excuses. You step back and say, I'm going to make a different decision. I'm going to make a different choice. That's what Mary's doing. She's leaving the gap. And we need a whole bunch of church people to get out of this gap mentality. Because as long as you're here, you will never be here. And when Martha got here, that's when miracles and breakthroughs started to happen. And you're about to see what God is about to do. Because she says, even now. But you need to understand, this is bigger than what we think. Do you realize what she's asking God or Jesus, the Son of God, to do? This, I love this part. She's saying, but even now, wait a minute, her brother's dead. And she says to Jesus, but even now, even though he's dead, but even now, I know you can still do something with this situation. But even now, I know you can take these nasty little weird ingredients and I know that you could do something with it. What she's saying, Jesus, I know you can undo what has been done. That is faith. She's saying, you can undo this, Jesus. She moved out of, hey, what if, to, let's just undo it. Do you see the if, the imposed fence is gone? Now her brain looks at the problem totally different. She's saying, how could we solve this problem? I bet even now you could do something. I bet you could undo this. I bet he could undo your divorce. He could undo your depression. He could undo your financial setback. He can undo the disease. He can undo the frustration situation. He can undo things because that's what God does. He's not a God of restriction. He's a God of resurrection. That's the God that we serve. It's this God that likes to undo things. So he's taking what the devil has done to you and he's saying, I can undo that. I'm going to reverse this curse. I'm going to change these things around. And you and I, we come to church to be reminded that he can undo what has been done. He can undo what the enemy tried to do to you, what the abuse you suffered, the past that you share. God says, I can undo that, but not just undo it. He can do this, and I love this. He can unwrite your story. Some of you feel like your story is written. You feel like the epitaph's already on your tombstone. God's like, I'm not finished. I haven't had the final word. And his word is the only word that matters. And he's saying, I thought I'd get the final word. Then we come to verse 39. Before verse 39, Jesus says, take me to him. And I haven't been using my flannel graph, so let me use my flannel graph because this is what I grew up with. There's a tomb, a little Lazarus in there, and you got this, and this is what I grew up with. I got to show you guys this because this is what I studied and worked for this whole week, okay, is get these little figures up here. All right, I even brought a little tree. Let's decorate that, make it look nice. My tree's falling. All right, we got Jesus, beautiful blonde hair, kind of blonde hair, blue-eyed Jesus. Even though we know he was most definitely not white. okay? These were made back in the 60s and 70s, y'all, okay? I do apologize. Do not cancel me, okay? But here we go. We got Jesus. He's about to do a miracle. And he's about to resurrect somebody. And that's about to get exciting. And I love this part. And then Mary's response is, I'm sorry, ladies. I'm so sorry. You're going to call me a chauvinist. But this is such a woman's response. I know now you're going to cancel me. Now you're like, oh, it was going good. And now you said that. Oh, man, I feel your hate. Hold on. Hold on just for a second. Verse 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha's like, Jesus, before you do that, notice what, this is what the verse says. The sister of whom was dead said to him, Lord, by this time, there is a stench. Okay? Jesus is about to resurrect Lazarus, and Martha this whole time has been saying, do something, do something. And now she's going to let a smell stop her from seeing the supernatural? Yeah. That is a woman's response, okay? I know you hate me. Hold on just for a second. Because, all right, let me use a real practical illustration. My wife hardly ever sleeps in. Matter of fact, never sleeps in. I sleep in on Saturdays, the only day. Every other day, I'm up early. So, kids, look at your phones for a second. So, she's still in bed. I'm still in bed. We're a married couple. And I think she looks good. And we're both in bed. And I roll over. Bounce it, wow, wow. Oh, yeah. And then I start to scoot over. You know, it's the morning. Nothing quite like that morning. I won't go into too much detail, but I scoot over. And then, you know how you do, guys. You throw an arm over, you start to hug them. And then she's like, No. And I was like, what, baby? She said, your breath just ruined everything. And I'm like, oh, are you serious? So ladies, a smell will keep you from doing all kinds of things. Just a smell, okay? There's my, all right, now all the good church people are like, I ain't never coming back to this church. He went too far. I apologize. But here, Mary's like, hold on, Jesus. I know you want to do a good deed, but he's going to smell. And folks, that is such a church person response. God is like, hey, I want to save that homeless dude out there. And we're like, I don't know about that. He kind of ratchet. And God's like, for real? That's what I do. God's like, oh, yeah, that political person that you don't like, guess what? I want to bring him to your church. Really, God? Isn't there another church they can go to? Like, there's lots of them. They don't need to go to mine. Oh, yeah, that person from that background that you like to get all upset about online and blast them for their lifestyle. What if God was like, yeah, I'm going to bring a bunch to your church and they're going to get saved and they're going to be happy and they're going to be your friends. And you're like, ooh, I don't know about that. Because I want everybody that looks like me, talks like me, votes like me, has the same pay grade as me. And God's like, hold on, you're letting the smell stop the supernatural. Yeah. And God wants as Christians for us to get in synchronicity with what he wants to do. And we don't let little smells, little barriers stop us from experiencing something that God wants to do. Come on, you made it this far and you're going to let something little stop you. And that's where Mary's at. And some of you are right there. God's like, hey, I want you to talk to your neighbor and I'm going to break open the relationship there. And you're like, no, man, I'm an introvert. Some of you, God's saying, hey, I want you to serve at that church you're attending. And you're saying, no, I just like to sit and listen and judge. Judge the outfits, judge his jokes. I just like to sit there, judge the music, judge the temperature. I like to just sit here and have a nasty attitude. No, no, no. God is saying, you're letting a smell stop you. But I love the fact that Jesus would not be deterred. You see, Jesus says, and I love this, verse 43. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Yeah. And I love that Jesus uses Lazarus's name. And this might be a word for one of you, but there's a miracle with your name on it. It doesn't have my name on it, it's got your name on it. There's something God wants to do for you and only you. And I know we're here with 160 other people. But there's a word that God wants to give to you today and only you. And it's the reason you came today. And I don't know how you got here. I don't know if you walked in. I don't know if you got invited. I don't know if you stumbled in here. I don't know if you are waking up in here. You're like, where am I? How did I get here? But no matter the reason, God just wanted to say something to you and that there's a miracle with your name on it because your God loves you just as if there was only one of you. God loves you and he's saying, I've got a miracle for you. And God does this miracle and Lazarus comes to life. But here's the greatest part about this story, and I love it, it's the last verse. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. I don't mean to be overly silly here, but they estimate that he would have had 100 pounds of burial cloths and spices because they would embalm, or not embalm, but they would wrap a body almost like a mummy. And so he didn't walk out of there. He had to hop out of there. And Jesus and everybody watching is saying, he's got life, but he doesn't have liberty. And some of you this morning, you have the life of Christ, but you're not free in Christ. There's something that's keeping you bound. And notice who he says to free him. He says to Lazarus' friends, loose him and let him go. Your freedom is going to be tied up in your friends. The friends you have around you, they're either going to help break you free or they're going to keep you bound. Lazarus had friends that said, we're going to help you. And I love how he was called out. As we close, many of you might be thinking, God, I'm just stuck in this gap. How do I get there? Because God wants to do something supernatural. Maybe you're thinking, Lord, I just don't know if it's possible. Lord, I'm frustrated with your timing. And I want to tell you, God has the perfect timing. 2011, Jane and I were renting a home over by Oak Grove High School. And we were paying $1,800 a month, which nowadays, I don't know if you can get two cardboard boxes duct taped together for $1,800 a month. But that's what we were paying. And our landlord, he was great. And then he came to me and he said, hey, my house is short sale. I'm underwater. I got to sell it. So you have to go somewhere else. But by that time, the market in the rental market had taken off. I couldn't even afford, because my wife and I, we were making a salary combined $68,000 in the Bay Area in 2011. I worked in a ministry job. She worked in a ministry job. And so we had this thought, well, maybe God's calling us to go buy a house. I was thinking, how are we going to buy a house? We make $68,000. Let's check our bank account. Our bank account was the piggy bank, literally. Jiggle, jiggle, jiggle. Yeah, you're like, my money doesn't jiggle. It folds. Never mind. But my money back then just jiggled. And so I was like, God, how are we going to do this? But we just stepped out and were like, okay, let's see if we can get approved for a loan. We got approved for a loan for a little over $300,000. And even at the time, the bottom of the market, it was still hard to find a house for $300,000. So it seemed like every day after work, we would just go looking at homes, just putting in offers. We would drive. We were driving as far as Hollister. We were driving anywhere we could just to see if we could find a house that they would sell it to us. Month after month, we kept getting rejected. And I'm getting discouraged because I got to be out of this house. And I'm going to be homeless. Two kids, my wife. What am I going to do? And I'm bringing it to God. I'm saying, God, I'm trying to serve you. I'm not making a lot of money. And so, God, I have an expectation that you're going to come through, but you haven't come through yet. And the whole time, it's like, God just whispering, trust me, trust me. And we found a house. And I was like, that seems like a good house. It's on a cul-de-sac. Better yet, Jane liked it. It was in my price range. So I said, let's put in an offer. We put in an offer. We waited, and then we heard back. They didn't accept your offer. You got outbid. I was dejected. God, what are you doing? Then on Christmas Eve night, actually it was New Year's Eve, our real estate agent calls us, wishing us a happy new year. And then she tells me that the person who beat you out in the bid just walked on that house. I said, really? What happened? She said, well, he was in escrow and they were about to close So he brought his brother to see his house, and his brother said, "This is a dump. Why do you want to buy it?" I was like, "I want that dump. I would love to have that dump." And they walked. And when they walked, we put in our offer, and they said, "It's going to be a quick close." But I had a special loan from the county that said, if the bank was to accept my loan, the bank would have to discount the house by an additional 1%. So I told them I can't raise my offer. They accepted my offer, and I had to come back and say, "Actually, guys, the bank is saying I have to lower it by another 1%. Would you do it?" And the bank said, "Yes." I was like, "Okay." And then the county came back and said, "Well, your agents both have to discount their commissions by 1%. So I had to go to the agents who were both going to make 3% each of them on the sale, and I had to say, "Hey, guys, I can't get this house unless you two both agree to discount your commission by 1%. And they both had a little powwow about it, and then they came back to me and said, "Okay, we'll do it to get you into this house." I went from paying $1,800 a month to owning a home for $1,745, taxes, insurance, and a mortgage payment in San Jose, because God knows how to do something when we get into spiritual synchronicity with Him, because God wants to do these miracles. But if we're left in this, what if? We'll never get to see what God wants to do, because God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask, think, yes, or imagine. Yeah. That's what your God wants to do. It's in the book. Yeah. Read it and find out for yourself. Let's stand, shall we? Heads bowed and eyes closed. This morning, maybe you're in that gap. You don't know what to do with it. You're living in this what if. Frustrated by your life, frustrated by where it's going. And this morning, I hope you are reminded by this simple story that God can take what seems done and over, and He can undo it. And so if you're in need of God undoing something that has been done, whether you did it or it happened to you, you say, "God, I need something from you. I need you to do something that I can't do." Because to God, the infinite, all finites are the same. I want to pray for you. And if you're saying, "You know, before you pray, Micaiah, can you pray for me?" And if you'd slip up a hand, I want to just know who I'm praying for. You slip up a hand, I'll pray for you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that one. Yes, I see those. I see that hand, that one. All the ones in the back, I see it. Yep, in the balcony, I see him. My left and my right. God bless you. Put your hands down. I want to pray for you. And if we could pray for you more, I'll be in the lobby, because I want you to know that God wants to get you out of the gap. Father God in heaven, I think too often I find myself living in this gap between what I expect and what I experience. And you want to take me out of the gap. And you want me to get me into that next phase where I believe, where I get to that point that even though I've got the debt, even though I've got the bills, even though I've got the disease, even though I've got the past, you can work all things together for your good. So I pray right now, God, that in spite of everything that's happened, everything I'm done or has been done, that God, you can take it and you can redo it for your honor and your glory. And we are believing, God, that there are some dead things that can come back to life. That there might be some dead plans that you're going to raise back up. That there's going to be some hurts that you're going to heal. That there's going to be some closed doors that you're about to open. Holy Spirit, I feel your presence in here. I feel that you're working, healing, guiding, directing. Holy Spirit, there's something you want to do in these lives. I don't want to be in the way of it. So Holy Spirit, go up and down these rows. Do what you want to do. Speak to hearts. Whisper the word that these people need to hear. Because there's somebody in this room that needs a miracle. And whisper that this miracle's got their name on it. that it's coming to them only. Remind them that you have not forgotten about them. You have not abandoned them. That you will keep your promise to them. That the strength of a promise is only as strong as its source, and you are our source. So we pray that we would never forget it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Man, it's been good to hang out with you. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to find two or three people. Say hello. Say that it's good to see them on your way out. We don't just want to be a friendly church. We want to be a church of friends. So get to know somebody on your way out. God bless you. Have an amazing rest of your St. Patrick's Day. I hope to see you next week. You're dismissed.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message. If this message inspired you and helped you, we would love for you to hit like, subscribe, or share it with someone today. Until next time, have a great day.